The Running Won't Save You podcast season 3 is proudly sponsored by our friends, the Pick and Mix Ninjas at X Miles. How exactly is it possible to get 150 grams of carbs into your body without having a trail accident, I hear you ask? Well, I can't help you there, but what I can help you with is calculating what has 150 grams of carbs in it using the X Miles nutrition calculator, which is free on their website. You just go on there and add all the things that you feel like eating into the basket, and it'll tell you exactly how many carbs, how many proteins, how many sugars, how many calories, how many this, how many that in the nutrition calculator. It is honestly super, super handy and stops you having to read those tiny, tiny little bits of writing on the back of things. So, this season, our wonderful friends at X Miles, I keep referring to them as our wonderful friends, I don't even know if they like me, are giving us a 12-month subscription to X Plus, which is their membership platform, where customers can receive better pricing on single serves, free priority shipping, express order fulfillment, and 5% store credit whenever they go shopping, plus access to exclusive sales. They're giving us a 12-month subscription plus a nutrition bundle, which is a mystery bundle, like a tin of mystery meat in Lidl. This is a mystery bundle of nutrition. If you want to enter the competition, you can go to our Instagram page, which is Running Won't Save You Pod on Instagram. Click and enter the competition. This competition is running till the end of June. Or if you just want to go on there and order some Vela Forte, Tailwinds, Squirrel's Nut Butter, Active Root, High Five, Low Five, Medium Five, whatever five it is that you want to order, whatever food it is you want to order, whatever nutrition it is you're looking for, then head to the website, put it all into the nutrition calculator, put it all in your basket, and enter the code RWSY1010 at the checkout for 10% off. Thanks, guys. We love you. You're amazing. Honestly, I've probably used X Miles more than any other website in the last sort of 10 weeks prepping for the spine. It's great. It's quick. It's easy. And it is cheap. On with the podcast. Welcome to the Running Won't Save You podcast, season 3, episode 9, with me, your host, semi-professional broadcaster with a bit of an annoying voice, I've been called Marmite this week, Ali Bailey, and my co-host, the winner of the Lakeland 100, you can say your name now.
Semi-professional ultra runner, also with an annoying voice, Damien, I'm too tired to remember the rest.
Oh, yay! Yeah! Well done, Damien Hall.
Thanks. I'm tired.
You're tired, aren't you? You were late for the podcast, disrespecting my time. You were late by 34 minutes. And when I asked why, you said it was because you needed to go to the toilet.
And get another cup of tea. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Fine. Okay, so we've got very many questions from the listeners about your win. First off, how are you feeling?
Hee-hee.
You're feeling hee-hee.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there aren't many. I'm physically weary, but there aren't many better feelings really than that sort of sweet exhaustion, are there, of being, very tired, but feeling very satisfied with your performance and having a great time in lots of ways, you know, seeing lots of great people and being at an amazing event and all that soul nourishing stuff. So, yeah, feeling very lucky and grateful, actually, at the moment. Thanks.
Why? How?
Oh, dear. Can we kind of try and keep the questions simple? Because I'm confused and old.
Let's talk about do you know what? When they said at the prize giving, there's quite a prize giving, listeners at the Lakeland. Mark, what's his second name?
Lathwaite
is a bit of a chilled out entertainer, we'll call him. And the prize giving went on for an hour and 20 minutes. And during that prize giving, he gave a prize to everybody. Everyone was a winner, bearing when there were 2,500 people in the tent. So, but he did this thing where he had the youngest person to be involved in a Lakeland race, and she was just 18. Mm-hmm. She did the 50 with her mum, mental. And the oldest person, who was 75. But when that person wasn't in the tent, I did think you were going to be called out, Damien, as the oldest completer.
Well, joking aside, I hope when I'm that age, I am still doing these sorts of things. So that was very cool. It was honestly, I think Mel Side Sandlings, Mel Sykes, who was unfortunate to sit next to me, said, "Have you ever been like?" Because I've been doing this, I guess, about 12 years, and she said, "Have you been to an awards ceremony like this before?" And I really hadn't. The most I could compare it to actually is probably UTMB in terms of like getting lots of people together to give out some prizes. But UTMB is totally kind of us and them. Like it's like, here are the superheroes up on the stage. Let's give them some trophies, of which I have one. But it's not. It doesn't. Or at least I haven't been there for 2 or 3 years. But like, it doesn't. It's not really celebrating the community, I suppose. And he did it. It's an amazing job. You know, it's about the fundraising. He came in dressed as Liam Gallagher, didn't he?
That was funny. That was actually quite
That was
funny.
quite funny. no prizes, you know, for people who've done it 5 times. Yeah, as you say, oldest, youngest, volunteers, each checkpoint was celebrated. Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful. Really, really nice. And you can see why a friend of the show, Matt Neal, goes back. Was that his 16th? 16th out of 17 he's done. You can see why people keep going back. Absolutely wonderful. And yeah, numerous stories about families, you know, doing checkpoints together, or kids waiting for their parents to come in and things like that. It was, and
Yeah, so there's
there is a kids race as well.
couple of kids had their birthday parties on site, and they got a little present given to them. It was very, and there was that 18-year-old girl who took part in 50 ran with her mum, which I just thought was amazing. And I've seen that quite a lot. I'm seeing a lot. Basil, our friend Basil, Winter Ultra Basil, ran with his son, ran the 100 with his son, and they finished it together. And I just think that's really lovely, isn't it? Seeing those, that's such an amazing opportunity to be able to share that experience with a parent, something that I'll never be able to do. And I just think it's amazing what a bonding experience that must be.
It's absolutely wonderful. And that's why, I mean, I feel very sort of satisfied. Not, you know, my run went well, but it was also just that, yeah, just being part of the community and having a weekend like that where you hang out with friends and you just see people try to do hard things that might not work out for them this time. And that is absolutely fine. And we both had friends who, yeah, didn't have the sort of time they wanted. But that's just the sport, because it is tough, and that's partly why we do it. You know, if it was easy, everyone would do it. But it was just wonderful being around an event, an atmosphere like that. And I love the story he told right at the beginning, actually, of the checkpoint, the last checkpoint, Tibberthwaite, isn't it? It's only about 3 miles from the end. And he talked about watching them on the video camera, and there were two people, sorry, the live cam on YouTube, on the YouTubes, the MeTubes, and there were two people coming in. Were they cut off surfing?
Yeah, they were cut off surfing, so the checkpoint volunteers ran out to collect them and pull them in before they had to leave the checkpoint. I think at 8:40 a.m. and it was like 8:28 a.m. So to pull them in, to get them turned around, to get them out by 8:40, the checkpoint staff ran out and dragged them in.
And then he said he watched on the video YouTube, MeTube cam, and they're all celebrating afterwards, as if, you know, like the lionesses had just won the European Championships. They're all celebrating, and he saw it all on the camera. And I just thought that was, yeah, that just typifies it all, doesn't it? People giving up the time to cheer on other people and give them a bit of coke. Yeah, what a sport.
I wonder if you'd be this chirpy if you hadn't won. I'm just wondering. Why did you
We'll
end?
find out
Why,
soon.
Damien? What's the big idea? Oh, there's so many, gonna be so many partridgeisms in this. And also, guys, we're playing a game of UTMB bingo. So far, Damien's mentioned it twice. For every time Damien mentions UTMB bingo, you have to do 1 1-minute sprint in your next running session. Twice so far. Tell us about why did you enter Lake the 100?
UTMB. Well, I it is it, when I was getting to the sport circa 2012, 2013, it was the big one in Britain. It was the biggest race. And it is sort of inspired by UTMB, as Mark has mentioned. You know, I guess a 100 mile circuit up and down some lumps, starts at the same time. It
Doesn't
was
he
the big
call it
one.
UTMLD? It says it on everything. It's UTMLD, Ultra Tour de Lake District.
Yes. I think that's another name for it. It was the big one here. And so I'd always wanted to, but then I had a UTMB obsession, and then I've also done the tour a few times. So that is actually 8 summers, and Leighton 100 is late July, so it's quite close to those races, or too close for me to sensibly do that. And then one of the bigger races, a few people have tried down the years, but usually not successfully. So it's always been too close. So yeah, there've been 8 summers where I wouldn't have been able to do it because I was doing those. I can't remember what I was doing in the other two or three, but I've always wanted to have a go at the 100 because it's our big one. It's our sort of pretty. I wonder if the West Highland Way race is possibly older, but technically not 100 miles. But yeah, it's our big one, and so I've wanted to for a long time. And then finally this summer, or this year, it sort of fitted my plans. And much more importantly than that, Mark Derbyshire wasn't running, so I thought it was a good year. It's a
Mark
good
Derbyshire
year.
running and Gavin Dell's injured. Perfect.
Yep.
Let's do
Kim
it.
Collison also unavailable. So yeah, I thought it was a good time.
Excellent. Always enter a race that you can win. So give us a quick overview of your race then. What went good? What went terrible?
Quick. Don't we want foot
I've got
strike by foot
so
strike?
many fucking questions for you from people. I really have got a lot of questions. I'm like surprised by how
Right.
interested people are in you.
They won't be soon. The races for me are always a battle of, I suppose, yeah, those outcome goals and thinking about other runners versus what can I control and what can I do and my own performance. I imagine it's similar for a lot of people.
Can I just ask a
So,
question first? Are we going
oh, do you
to,
have
oh,
to?
yeah, are we going to like do this, that thing where I know what you did and I know what you were holding in your hand and I know what you were looking at, so I know all of the secrets and you actually just skim over what you actually did so no one actually knows anything about what your plan was?
Well,
Or are you going to tell the truth?
if I don't tell the truth, I'm sure you will let everyone know, right?
Perfect. Yes.
Right. So,
Continue.
I didn't look at the start list. I tried my hardest not to know who else was running in the men's race. But friend of the show, second mention. Do we play Mel Sykes bingo as
We can
well?
play Mel Sykes bingo. That's 3 mentions of Mel Sykes so far because my mentions of Mel Sykes, 4 mentions of Mel Sykes. That also constitutes a shot of tea. Mel Sykes, five.
She took Side Sandling's Mel Sykes took delight in telling me the other male runners who would
Demo. You know Rye's running? Fucking hell. Just having a nice dinner and you've ruined it.
And I tried so Rye Webb isn't as well known as he should be. He beat me at Lakes in the Day a few years ago, quite comfortably, a 50-mile race. So as soon as she mentioned him, and he's qualified, I'm pretty sure. Sorry if I got this wrong, Rye. Pretty sure he qualified for the GB 24-hour team, but never got to run because of COVID, which I just think is just heartbreaking. Like, he's a GB athlete, but never actually got to wear the vest.
He won the Winterdowns 200 in 48 hours, everybody.
There you go. So Rye
Yeah.
Webb is he's got proper caliber at a variety of
Oh, he's
distances.
also 10 years younger than Damien. Let's just mention that.
And if I forget to mention it, it was his birthday on the race,
Happy birthday,
which was very
Rye!
good. Yeah. I could have given him a better present, to be honest. But anyway, sorry, Rye. So I was, yeah, properly reasonably intimidated by him, and I tried hard not to, but I did go and look on his Strava, and I was like, oh shit, he's wrecking it faster than me. And the other runner Mel took delight in telling me the day before was Jarlath McKenna, who almost won the race 2 years ago and has a 2:24 marathon and also has a much better time than me at Lakes in the Day. So I knew I had at least two male runners, although there was no Derbyshire, Dale or Collison. There were at least two other really strong runners who would give me who'd keep me very honest indeed, and on paper actually had, you know, probably better pedigree. And so I had to try not to think of them very much at all.
Hard not to think of them when you can see one of them ahead of you, though, isn't
Yes. And the other one just behind you. Yeah.
it?
So what I did is, yeah, try and think of my own performance and basically a time, you know, give myself a time target, almost like it's an FKT. And what I did is I looked at the winning times over the previous years, and only four runners had run under 20 hours. Mark Derbyshire twice. So I basically took me and Kim Collison a very similar. We've run a lot together. We've got similar times at several races, including the Spine and the Northern Traverse. We're very close times. Although he's quicker than me on the shorter stuff. So I basically sort of, yeah, took his splits from last year when he ran 19:22, third or fourth fastest time ever, and sort of had his splits, and yeah, used them as a rough guide and just thought, well, I'm not trying to hit them every single time, because there'll be times where you're feeling in a lull, but that's my rough guide, and try not to think of the other runners very much. But it is hard when the other runner is just ahead of you and running away or disappeared. But I think I did that fairly well. So we started off, yeah, the weather, I must say as well, the weather was absolutely perfect. It was just t-shirt weather the whole time without really getting too hot.
It was a bit smingy at the beginning, a bit
Yeah, a
rainy.
bit mizzly. Yeah, but I really like that. I like a little bit of dampness, a bit humid. But yeah, already on that first climb, Jarlath was well ahead of me, disappearing into the murk, and I
We
was
did
trying
give
not.
Jarlath a couple of nicknames, which I want to publicly apologise for. I've got a mouthful of porridge as well. The nicknames included the Goblin King, as in Jareth from Labyrinth, and King Joffrey, which is what Daemon was calling him. Although we are assured that Jarlath is a very nice man.
He does seem to be a very nice man. And yeah, I wasn't looking behind me too much. I mean, there's almost no point at that stage of the race. You're really not racing people. But Anna, is it Llewellyn?
Yeah, Anna Llewellyn, what a fucking beast.
And I was surprised. I just glanced behind me at one point, and I hope this sounds okay. But yeah, I'm not used to, early on in the race, I'm not used to seeing a female runner
You're
close
not used to
behind.
seeing a leggy 27-year-old chasing you up the trail, because that's what's fucking
No.
happening.
Yeah, and she was running absolutely everything, all the steep stuff. I had my poles out, plenty, and she was just charging up and down things. Turns out that was her first 100. But basically, so for the first night, well, yeah, the first split over to Seathwaite, we were 4 or 5 minutes ahead of Mark Dalbshaw's record, and I was like, ooh, okay, that, yeah. So I deliberately chilled a bit on the next leg, let Jarlath go. Well, I didn't have much choice, but I was happy to let him go, because I just thought, I can't sustain that, and that's unwise, on paper. And I guess, yeah, through most of the night, it was kind of the three of us, not really toing and throwing. We weren't sort of racing hard, but sometimes I'd be with Anna. So, occasionally, I'd get past Jarlath on a downhill, and he'd come back, but then he did say he was getting tummy issues, and that's one of those moments where you feel horribly conflicted, because you're like, oh, I feel bad for him because he's running well, he seems like a great guy, but he's starting to suffer. But obviously his suffering benefits you, and
But
it's
secretly, you're like, yes. And you're thinking of that bit in Game of Thrones where Joffrey drinks the poison. Sorry for any spoilers. He lays on the floor and goes, ah, the bits come out of his mouth. That's what you were thinking about, isn't it?
exactly what I was
Yeah.
thinking. So yeah, you feel very weirdly conflicted. But basically, by about, yeah, he was struggling a bit with his tummy.
Did he tell you that? Did he say that to you? Oh.
Because I caught him up on a downhill, and I said, are you all right? Because I was a bit surprised to see him, actually, because I thought maybe I wouldn't see him again. And he said, oh, tummy issues, and then I was like, oh.
Did he use the words tummy issues?
He definitely said tummy.
He didn't say, think I'm going to shit myself or anything like that.
Not exactly that, no, not that I remember. So for, yeah, most of the night it was the three of us, not much chat, but yeah, really nice night, lovely weather. And then I reached Dalmain, which is pretty much 60 miles of 105, at about, yeah, I think it was half four, around half four. That was my sort of schedule. It's just getting light, and I'm on my own, and I guess I've got a few minutes gap to Jarlath, and I'm like, oh, yikes. Well, this is going well, but trying not to think of the other runners and trying to think of my time targets. And the next section was all fine, but I guess really I was starting to tire and starting to probably not fuel optimally. Although I did neck a whole bottle of Huel at Dalmain.
Hashtag not an ad.
So by now it's light, and yeah, thank you to the lovely family. There were a couple had got up, before 5 a.m. with their two little kids who could only have been like 3 and 4, waving on the trail side, just as we're climbing up onto the hill again. That
Are
was
you sure, Damien?
no, I'm not sure. But anyway, so I coasted along for probably less than an hour, thinking, oh, well, this is going well. Just, and this is one of those moments where you it's important not to get carried away and to just think of the process stuff. So, fueling, pacing, mindset, hydration, why are you doing this? Just reminding yourself of that stuff rather than getting caught up in a race, because there are hours and hours and hours ahead. And you don't want to be setting off your chimp and overdoing something and paying for it. But basically, I wasn't expecting to see another runner, really. And then suddenly Rye Webb, cheery Rye Webb is on my shoulder.
Oh God, nobody wants that on a bloody Saturday morning, do they?
Not with his guns
Nobody
either.
wants La Sportiva and his fucking guns and his
With
hair.
his vest and showing
That's
me up with his big
my birthday.
arms.
Happy birthday to me.
Well, but I have, I have known Rudd a little bit down the years, and so it is nice to see someone familiar. But again, you're really conflicted. You're like, oh, a great guy who's a friend, but this means I'm not doing as well as I thought I was in the race because this rascal has just caught me up, and he seemed fresher than me as well. So we ran together for a bit, and he did tell me it was his birthday, just turned 40, which I thought was very cool. We went to Howtown, which is one of the all the checkpoints had themes. That was one of the more memorable ones.
We went to Howtown. Does sound like a euphemism.
They were like, I think it was a Dad's Army theme, or it was sort of an ancient old military. It was quite cool. But I was getting to the stage where you're not really sure what you're seeing anymore. And yeah, we start the climb up, and suddenly sort of Rye wasn't with me anymore, and I noticed him a bit further back. And it is one of those dilemmas of like, almost, do you sort of check he's all right and offer him, what if you've got some electrolytes or gels, or actually no, it is a race. And so I guess I ploughed on, but you can't help looking back occasionally to sort of, is he okay? Is he going to speed up? And he did seem to start on the descent down. He did seem to be moving quite well. He's got he had a yellow top, so I could see him quite clearly. But again, it was like, yeah, just try not to think about the race. Try and think of the process stuff. And nearly always that is number one. It is fueling, keep fueling. So I ran quite well along. It's Ullswater, isn't it? I think.
It's horse water.
Haweswater, whoops.
You love horse. Can't believe you forget it was horse water.
I do love Hawes. And then the next climb, yeah, I couldn't see him behind me on the next climb. There's a steep climb up there. And then from then on, I was on my own. But yeah, just this constant battle in your head of trying not to think about being chased, trying to not think about the person behind you. But at the same time, nearly every checkpoint, I said, do you know what my gap is? And nearly all, for a while, it was always 10 minutes or about a mile, 10 minutes. And that didn't, 10 minutes doesn't feel like much at all. Because you think if you just have a bad mile or two, get underfueled, I don't know, trip up, he's going to be pretty much on you. Or he just has a second wind, gets in a couple of caffeine gels.
So Mo Jarl have had second wind and it didn't seem to help him.
Oh dear.
Was a joke about tummy trouble.
But, and I remember getting to Ambleside, I was quite discombobulated there. And yeah, good friend of mine, Beth Pascal, turned up with her daughter, and I sort of stopped to try and high five her daughter and stopped for a chat, and she was like, "What are you doing
Her
here?"
daughter's a baby, everybody, just so you know. So that
Yeah,
high-fiving doesn't quite work.
she's around 1 year old.
Has she still got a
Yeah,
mohawk?
I wish I could remember. I think I was a
Was
bit
Beth Pascal even
discombobulated.
there?
Maybe not.
Right.
But and also there's some great video footage that Jeeve took. I saw he was full of beans and really encouraging. It was great to see him. He took some footage of me eating a banana versus Rye eating a banana, and he just chomps it down like in pretty much one go. He obviously arrived about 10 minutes after me, and I'm sort of picking at a banana,
Now,
picking,
do you know what you
crumpling
fucking
off.
do? You chop it in half, you have half of it, and you leave the other half in the fucking fridge.
I did ask them, I said, could I put
The
this in the fridge here,
bane, could you
please?
put this in
Ali
Ali's
will be along in
fridge?
a minute. She would like
Bane of
a
my
banana.
fucking life is half a banana in the fridge or on shelves.
Yeah. But again, in Ambleside, yeah, wonderful reception there. Thank you, everyone who was there. They were very efficient. And yeah, I was pretty much just on Coke.
The
Coke
drink,
now.
guys.
Yeah. Yes, legal nutrition. And bits of banana when I could. And I was like, oh, what's my gap? And they're like, oh, you got loads of time. You're doing great. Yeah, I said, well, how much time? And they said, oh, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, 10 minutes. And I felt like I was working quite hard, but it never seemed to grow. But I think after Ambleside, it did grow. And an hour or two later, when I asked, it was sort of a spectator said 2 miles, 2.5 miles, and then I did, yeah, and then I did relax a bit, thinking, well, you never think it's in the bag because so many things happen. You go off course, you trip. I mean, how many tired footsteps are you making on rocky terrain? How easy is it to trip?
You're going to have to avoid the cheese toasties at the bottom of Tilberthwaite. You're going to have to not take one.
It's very upsetting. So I was more relaxed, let's say, for a bit, an hour, maybe an hour or so. But then I was like, no, I've got too relaxed. Like, don't, you haven't won this. It's not over. And I guess I was trying to still get under 20 hours as well. That was my number one goal, and I was trying to remember that. So I did kick myself up the bum a bit for the last hour or so and go, come on, don't slack off, get it done. And I did get it done, and it was great.
Tell us about the end, like the actual end bit where you turn that corner and you come down towards the school.
Oh, it's lovely. I think it happens before that. I think it's when you come down that road, you've got that quite technical descent at the top. I do love that last bit. People seem to grumble about it, but it feels like.
So just for the listener, you come into Coniston, it's a Saturday afternoon, you run past pubs over the bridge and then down towards the school. So there's a lot of people about, but there's also more people about because of the race.
Oh yeah, and yeah, so you got that technical descent, and then it evens out a bit, and yeah, it's a nice run down, and then you suddenly hit the town, and there are loads of people, and there are cars, and there are, I bless them, the staff there are trying to stop the traffic, and but yeah, people are in the restaurants and pubs and cheering you along, and it's wonderful, it's absolutely wonderful, and it is like have I mentioned UTMB?
There we go, there it is. I was like, is it that, like any other race you've experienced?
It is like UTMB
Yeah,
finish.
yeah.
Where, yeah, UTMB take you sort of maybe even a kilometre around the town to sort of soak up the atmosphere.
What, at the end of the race? So they don't let
It
you finish the race until you've
no,
actually done that kilometre?
yeah. And Lakeland 100 isn't quite that mean, but yeah, you run through the town a bit, and honestly, yeah, it was sweaty-eyed stuff. Just yeah, wonderful reception, and for me that was about yeah 1:30 in the afternoon. And then down the final road, and you're just thinking, don't trip up in front of this crowd, don't trip up in front of this crowd. And it was, yeah, really moving. I'm really grateful to everyone who was around. And this sport is hard, and there's lots of variables, lots of things that can go wrong. So when it mostly goes right, I want to make sure I cherish it, really, because so many times it doesn't. So I felt very fortunate. And then across the finish line, what did I do? 19:33. I didn't want to, I've already beaten one of Kim's times this year, so I didn't want to beat his time. So I did sort of wait, just wait around the corner for a
I
few
did
minutes.
see you in the pub on the corner down having a half
Yeah.
shandy and a chat and
Yeah.
taking some selfies with some harmless fans of the sport.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course the finish line, and Stu Smith, friend of the pod as well, was there with a cup of tea ready for me. Which is becoming a thing. So I grabbed the tea and slurped that right down. That was much appreciated. And that, yeah, it's nice when it all comes together. It
I
doesn't
think having that
often.
reception at the end of a race, there's so many races that we all finish, everyone listening, and there's nobody there. Like, nobody. Like, now four events, there's nobody at the end. There isn't even a fucking end point. You just finish, get your bag and go home. So I think to have that at the end is actually quite special, isn't it? You don't really get that unless it's like a London marathon or like a massive UTMB, fucking UTMB, that's another two, type race where, you have all the people sort of waiting. And I think that is quite a special, magical thing, isn't it?
I really think it is, and really, although maybe I got more claps than people who finished later, it's more for those people, I think, who, especially if it's the first 100 or they've taken a lot of time to get round, they should be celebrated and worshipped
Do
for a moment.
actually, you didn't get more claps than people that finished later because I went back later to see side sandaling Mel Sykes and Sarah Page, our friend Sarah Page. And because more people finish later, all their friends and family are out as well. So actually, you get the bigger the crowd, the later you finish, the bigger the crowd. Because remember, the 50 is finishing and the 100 are finishing.
Oh,
And what they do is when you cut, yeah, much bigger than yours. When
I'm going to
you
finish
come
later
in,
next time.
when you come in through the gantry, they then take you into the tent and present you like a rock star to the surrounding like audience, right? And you had a decent audience, but come for sort of 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, it was like five deep and everyone
Wow.
was going nuts. And the volunteers walk in and they'll say, "This is Jeff Smith, he's just going to finish his first 50 mile," and everyone just goes, "Way!" And it's like amazing. And you get to like have your moment. So I think that is really, really special, because you don't get that at the end of fucking The Grizzly or one of Dave and Wynn's races, or like, you might get it at the end of Race to the Carphone Warehouse. Actually, I don't think you do. I think people just see their friend and walk off. But it really was a spectacle. And if people have people, if you have access to a smartphone or maybe a internet, go and have a look at the Montaigne video of Damien finishing. Because number one, he is flying like a fucking. He's just flying. Like it's not even like he's just like he's finishing Park One. Number two, the crowd is incredible. And number three, the cup of tea from Stu Smith is brilliant. But the kiss that Stu Smith gives you on your forehead is even better. Like it's like he's the Pope and he's anointing you, because he is the Pope. He's the Pope of the fun times.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but if that's the price to pay for a race win, I'll take it. Yeah, no, it's a great event, isn't it? And people like Mark Derbyshire and Jack Scott and Dan Lawson were very quick to send me messages of congratulation.
Dan Kelly. He's coming over next year to do it. He's got to do it in 18 hours. The other way around.
Yes.
How has your recovery been in the last few days? How was it that when you got home?
I was tired.
Why didn't you eat anything in the last 10 miles, 20 miles? Why are you just eating bananas and Coke? Did you not feel very well?
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, nutrition is an ongoing experiment, and I do believe in that high carb idea. In fact, I've done, yeah, when I did these, I was part of this study with Paul Booth at Leeds Beckett University, and they found that I burn about 80 grams of carb an hour at a sort of not top end, but a sort of, good going easy pace. So really a competitive ultra pace for me, or ultra effort. So I was aiming. I was aiming for sort of 80 grams an hour. But sweet stuff, yeah, I get palate fatigue like a lot of people, and you just go off it, and it gets it's a bit grim. So I can do that for 50, 60 miles, and then Dalmain, I did have that nice reset. I had that bottle of Huel and I brushed my teeth. And I think I still fueled okay for a bit, but yeah, it was the idea of putting gels in. Well, to be totally honest, I didn't take all the gels I should have took from Dalmain, and then it was, yeah, I was still getting lots of Coke and bananas where I could. What else did I have? I had a few sweets, but definitely I was going off the idea of like chewing anything.
Why are you not eating nuts and stuff? You love nut butter. What's wrong with nuts?
Well, your mouth gets all yucky. Well, a to burn fat at that point, it takes more oxygen, so that comes away from your running your whole cardiovascular thing. So in
Don't
some
listen to
ways,
him. He's talking absolute elite nonsense. You're in the middle of the pack. Eat some nuts.
so in some ways, to be most efficient, yeah, fat isn't such or I think they say extraneous fat, fat you've added in or adding in, isn't the most sensible option. Although if that's going in rather if it's that versus nothing, then obviously it's still better. But yeah, I mean, Coke was going in, bananas where I could. I'm trying to think what else went in. Not loads, some sweets. But overall I've still recorded a pretty good time and fueled it pretty well, probably for like three quarters of it. Really, I probably should have picked up a hand. I quite like the sort of neutral flavour gels. I probably should have, I should have collected two or three more from Dalmain, is the truth. But yeah, it went fairly well.
How was that afternoon after she finished?
Can't remember.
Can't remember how that afternoon was after she finished.
Did I just go straight to bed?
No.
Did I go dancing?
You made some pathetic noises. You had a sh you had a
Oh, yeah.
bar you had a bath. You made some pathetic noises.
Oh, yeah, man noises.
You drank some tea. You had some, what else did you have? Oh, I'll tell you what, you said to me, I'm ready for dinner now. And I went, all right then. So I went downstairs and I made a really lovely, delicious vegan dal. Took me about 45 minutes. Made it quite soupy because I thought to myself, he'll want it to be soupy because he likes soup, right? And then I was like, made it lovely. It's got, re oh, it's beautifully presented, isn't it? It's got fresh green lime in the top. Oh, and he took one mouthful of it, looked at me, I went, I'll go to the toilet. Went to the toilet, came back. I'd finished mine by this point, had one more mouthful, went, yeah, I think I'm going to bed. Went to bed for 4 hours. And I went off to go see Melly and Sarah come in.
Sorry about that. Thanks for your help. But then I have eaten all of it and all the rest of it in between, pretty much.
Yeah,
I
to be
woke up at
fair,
4 in the morning, didn't I? And
when I got home, you got up at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the evening, and then you had some, and you were like, "Yeah, this is it." And then you did it. You had it in the morning for breakfast.
Yes.
You woke up at 7:30 and you're full of beans, like nothing had happened. You leapt out. You got up at 4 to get something to eat, and you walked down the stairs quite easily. There was no noises. It was quite incredible. Like you were broken, but then you slept for a few hours, and then you were fine. Physically, you could walk around.
In the intervening period, I did have three, again, not an ad, but three bottles of Kuul, I think.
Yeah, you did have three bottles. You said you felt quite nauseous, which was unlikely, but you did
Oh,
drink a lot of
yeah.
Kuul. Yeah.
Anywho, sorry about that. Thank
No, but you did finish the
you.
dal for breakfast. You very much enjoyed it. So there we go, dal for breakfast. Do
Thanks,
you want some
Dahl.
questions? Thanks, dal. Do you want some questions?
Not really. I mean, yes, please.
What from the listeners?
Yeah, oh, I love the listener.
Ah.
Is it my mum again?
What are your thoughts on Yorkshire Gold tea? Quickly, this is a quick question. What are
It's the
your thoughts
best.
on your? It's the best. Bit of slate or buckle? What did you get?
Another bit of slate.
And a
You got.
trophy with my name on.
Yeah, that was a slight disappointment. You worked all that hard work and realized your girlfriend's already won that trophy, allegedly, with a
The other
slightly
Ali
different spelling.
Bailey had won that trophy, so
The better
yeah.
Ali Bailey, as we
Yeah,
shall refer to
he
them.
said to, he sent me a message on Instagram saying that I should do it, so I'll get my name on. I'm like, I'm a woman, so that's what happened. Okay, knick-knack, knick-knack, knick-knack.
I still have no buckle, as you like to point out, but I've got lots of slates, so I can see them all up there.
You could probably roof your house, couldn't you? Especially with
Yeah.
Lakeland slate, that's really expensive. Knickknack says, you've mentioned nearing 50, like it's old and slowing down. Has this performance reworked your perception about age? Do you feel happier, more confident, at peace? Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really looking into this a lot at the moment because I'm researching a book on this stuff. And we don't. What's fascinating is our generation are doing something different to, our previous generation. Basically, our parents didn't have Strava, is the easy way to say it, and they weren't, 99% of them weren't training like we are, and so we're a kind of pioneering fitness and health generation, actually. So it's really exciting. So the science at the moment says, we do decline, and lots of parts of our body are going to decline, but it's probably much slower and much less than we think, and a lot more of it is to do with
This
lifestyle.
is for active people that you're talking about, right? People
Yeah.
like, yeah, remember, we live in a bubble, an ultra bubble. So this is for active
Yes,
people.
but 100% people who aren't active must get active. Like it's gonna add decades to their life, and give them. We don't even talk about lifespan now. We talk about health span. What's the point of living a couple of decades if you're just sitting in a chair? Yeah. So get your relatives out exercising, please, everyone. And also doing strength work. If they don't know where to start with some press ups. But I've gone off course a bit. Where were we? Yeah, I do cherish. Well, yeah, I always loved the longer stuff anyway, and I have fallen into the trap. I've possibly done more 200 milers than 100 milers, and that wasn't intentional, really. But it is logical that obviously our speed goes first and our power. And our economy dwindles less. More slowly, so it is less affected. And you've seen, Anna Troup at the Summer Spine, things Nikki Spinks has been doing for years. So we're not as affected. That wasn't a deliberately ploy on my part. I just love the long stuff. But so we don't see that age decline as quickly in are we playing long stuff bingo in the long stuff. But also I know that for 100 milers and competitive 100 milers especially, yeah, my days are numbered. So I really cherish that Lakeland 100 win. And actually, I think that was my 10th 100. And actually, technically, it's my first
Fucking out, it's your 10th
win.
100 and you still don't have a buckle. What is going on? How's this happened?
It's my first win. So
Oh, congratulations.
thanks. I did win UTMR.
Oh,
That doesn't,
can we
that's
have
not the same
that?
as
Oh,
UTMB.
no.
But the race was actually,
Oh, you did.
the race was actually stopped at 100K. So I was given the win, but I didn't technically win the 100 mile race. So yeah, I'm chuffed to bits, partly because of my age. I will turn 50 late this year, and partly it's one of our all right it was less competitive this year than the previous year, but it's still one of
That
our
isn't
top
very fair
races.
on you. It wasn't less competitive. Like, if I hadn't have put that curse on Ryan Jarlath in the car, they would have
Thank
been very
you.
competitive.
Well, and I suppose my time, I think it's the fifth fastest time, so yeah, I guess my time is competitive. So yeah, no, I really cherish it and feel
Also,
very
let's not
lucky.
forget Anna. Because Anna was chasing you fuckers. We thought Anna was first lady. She came fourth overall, I think. She was incredible, but she did lose it around about Chapel style, where she had to walk from there and finish her finishing footage. She is walking in, but she still absolutely nailed it. And she's so young. She's 27. She won the Felsman outright. She's got the second fastest Bob Graham, I think 16 hours or something. She's a one to watch, and she's very sort of quiet. And also, Charlotte did an amazing job as well. Again, Charlotte's like quite loud on Instagram in what she does, what her job is, but she's incredible. Sarah Page, fucking Sarah Page, man. She's such an athlete, and she's so humble. She doesn't even realize how good she is, and then she just cruises in third. Like, it's like, what, a third hundred?
I'm very lucky to coach Sarah, and she had an incredible run. And it's hard for her because she's down in the southeast, and it's a trail race, Lakeland 100, but there's some really technical bits actually. Lots of loose rock.
We had lunch with Sarah afterwards, and it was actually funny how naive she was to the course, or how naive she was to the Lake District. Like, in a sort of a whoa, like, it would be a pleasure to be that naive to her, because at least you don't fucking know. But we were like, she's like, you know that bit where there was like a green hill and there was some camping and there was
Oh, by the
the
green
fence?
field,
We were like, yeah, that bit. Like, she doesn't know the names of anywhere. She's like, obviously, coming down from down south, it's really hard to get up here, but she is just her and her and Max, her boyfriend, they're just such a great team, and she just doesn't know how good she is, Sarah, and she's so humble with it. That's the best bit. Like, she is process over result, isn't she? Because she knows what she'd like to do, but she's not like, that's the be all and end all.
And you
And I
see all her
think
race photos, and they're so smiley.
so smiley. Same
But
with Mel Sykes. Bingo, Mel Sykes. Like, same with Mel. Mel runs with a joy and a relentless enthusiasm that is contagious. And both her and Sarah had gastric, what we'll call it, gastric I issues, something that Mel likes to call arse piss. She'll like that. She'll like that we've mentioned that. From mile 10. Yes, still they go on. And Mel, at the end of it, walked into the tent looking like Bez from the Happy Mondays in 1993. Like, she just had a massive big night out. Her hair was one big dreadlock. She's staggering around. She's like, not had anything to eat for 20 miles. She came fourth, first in her age category. She just go for sub 28, she did 25 hours. Like, unbelievable, right?
It's brilliant to see, and I think people who can, I do think people who can smile about this stuff, it's an advantage. It's because when it gets really hard, you need to ask yourself, why are you doing it? Like, why did you sign up in the first place? Because it's quite easy to go, fucking hate this, want it to be over. Why isn't the end closer? When is it gonna, like? And
You
I've got
just
into it. I
heard
get into
Damien's real voice
it.
there, listener. That's what he really sounds like.
It's quite easy to get into that mindset, but people who can go, no, hold on, I do love this, or at least I'll love it afterwards, or I want, I loved the first 50 miles, or I love being out in these places, I love being part of this community. People who can do that and plug into that,
That's
do it.
success, that is.
Whether it's joy or what you call it, what you want to call it, people who can do that are going to have a better time, both mentally and probably performance wise, as well. So the smiley people have an advantage. Another one I always think of is Debbie Martin Catania as well, who's a famous smiler, and just smashes out the hundreds all year round. Yes,
As Hannah Rickman
smiley.
says, laugh or quit. I always have that in my head. Like, whenever I start turning into a little bitch, I'm like, laugh or quit. You either laugh at this or you stop, and you're not going to stop, so you might as well laugh at it. Like, laugh in the face of adversity, because it is, at the end of the day, it's quite funny. It's all, what are you doing? This is quite funny. More questions. Do all runs finish with T or just races?
Probably all runs, to be honest. I find water really boring, so I pretty much only drink tea and maybe Coca-Cola in races.
Do you want to maybe tell drop the
Have a tea break.
bombshell about what happened during the race, with regards to tea?
Oh gosh. Well, what happened? I didn't actually drink any tea during
No,
this race.
no, no tea was consumed.
I think it was partly because we had to carry a non-collapsible cup. And I had to jam mine quite far down into my pack, and I only got it out once for a bit of soup in the middle of the night, which was delicious. Thank you. Oh, which one was that? Anyway, thank you, soup people. You were super.
Oh, I was going to do that one.
It was partly that.
I'm sure it wasn't any brother for them to make it for you. Broth, brother,
Thanks for
brother.
explaining that one. I was offered
Did
tea
you
a lot.
chowder down on it?
Oh gosh.
I'll stop now. Go on. You offered
Will you
tea a
though?
lot.
I did get offered tea a lot. So thank you to everyone. I would quite often come into a checkpoint and people would say, "Want a cup of tea?" So thank you everyone. Thank you. I don't know
Because you're the
why.
first person and they've not had anyone in yet, so they've literally made you a cup of tea and they're waiting for you.
Well, I felt embarrassed. There was one place in the night early on, they said, "We've got toast." And I went, "Oh, toast." And I didn't mean I want some toast. I just thought, "Oh, that's good for you. That's a nice idea." And they came over with a massive tray of toasts ready for me, going, "We got honey on this one, jam on this one."
Oh no.
And I was like, "Actually, I don't. I sorry, I don't. I didn't feel like a toast." So I'm going to raise my mug and toast them now.
This is so good. Guys, you still there?
Come back.
Go back.
Anyway, I don't know why I didn't have tea, but it did make the finish line tea taste all the better. Thank you, Stu Smith.
I'll tell you why you didn't have tea, because you were trying not to be a dwell dweeb. Quick dwell dweeb update.
Oh, process goals, right? One of mine was to have the least dwell time, right?
Yeah, you didn't
And I
have the
did.
least dwell time. You
I
had the least
did.
dwell time of the people in the top three.
I checked out more of them since.
Did you
So
have you
yeah.
asked Ewan?
No, I haven't you, but I checked the top women and some more men down the men's males roster. I've checked about 10 people and I had the least dwell time.
Okay, so Damien's dwell time. This is the dwell time is the time taken at checkpoints. Okay, so it's not the time taken fanning about on the hill or like doing a poo or like playing with dogs or fussing sheep, whatever, which of which he did a lot. It's the time you take in the checkpoints, and your dwell time was
Isn't it 30 minutes?
33 minutes, 33 seconds, which is funny because your time was 19:33, 33. So if you hadn't dwelled for 33 minutes and 33 seconds, you'd been 19 hours.
You can leave me to dwell on that till next time.
But if you didn't dwell, you wouldn't be able to fill up your water bottles either. So your longest dwell was at Dell Dwellmain. You dwelled at Dellmain for 4 minutes. How could you? What were you doing? Sleeping?
I had an actual sit down.
No.
Anyway.
Roy's dwell time was 50 minutes and the Goblin King's dwell time was 150, 120 or something, wasn't it? So I think he did have a little break because he had a tummy problem. We don't know though. We're not talking to him. We're talking to you. Okay. Did you have any low moments and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably more the it was emotional an emotional low, I guess, when Rye Webb caught me in terms of like, I think I'm doing fine, everything's fine, everything. Oh, it's not in a racing perspective, it's not going quite as fine as I thought because someone who I didn't even realize was close to me has suddenly caught me up and is full of beans and it's his birthday, and I know he's young and
Two
strong.
little balloons, didn't he? And cake. It's only with balloons and cake.
But I feel like this is probably just experience, but I feel like I was quite quick to say, well, actually, it doesn't really matter. My process goal is sub 20 hours. It doesn't really matter. Sub 20 should get me, on the podium. But so I can't control what he's going to do. Maybe he'll beat me, maybe not. I'm going for sub 20 hours and that, can't control him. So I did that fairly quickly, much quicker than I have. Certainly when I was sort of younger and stuff. So it was that. And then I suppose, again, later on, feeling a bit chased, feeling a bit hassled, feeling like I couldn't really create a gap on him. And I just kept trying to think of process goals like, yeah, keep fueling, keep moving well, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy has been a bit of a mantra for me. Yeah, don't slack off. And enjoy it. Look, people have come out to see you. Look at all these wonderful people at the aid stations who are giving up so many hours, so much of their time.
Don't
Try and
hang out
show
with
some.
them. No dwell time. Don't take their toast.
I mean, yeah, it was rude in some ways.
Yeah, it was. Look at these lovely people that come to the Invalid Volunteers. I'm not going to hang out with them. No way. Right. This is a really good question from the running accountant. What's the difference between you and Mark Derbyshire? Is it pure talent or training? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. He's faster than me. He's a little bit younger, but not much. I don't know.
It's got more hair.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Was he taller than you, Mark?
Not sure.
I'm just
I'm
trying to
not
work out
sure.
differences.
He lives slightly further up the country than me.
He is renowned. He's known for not driving to work. He runs to work every day.
He probably does more miles. He's not on
Yeah, he
Strava.
does a lot of run commuting.
Yeah, I don't know. But Mark's a lovely guy. We've been for a training run once, and we've met each other twice, at least twice during races abroad. In fact, he donated me a gel once when I was having a tough time.
And you've kept it, haven't you?
Yes, framed. It's on my
Yeah.
wall. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he has a certainly much better record than me in domestic
Do
hundred
you know what
milers.
he's better at than you? So, like, some people are really good downhill, some people are really good uphill, some people are really good on the flat, some people are good on mountains, some people are good on flat. Oh, and flat canal races. What do you know what he's better at?
I don't really. I don't really. We haven't. No, I haven't actually. I guess we did a training run, but that was a social thing. I mean, at Grand, where was it? Trans Gran Canaria. We're talking like 2019 or something. I mean, I got away from him on a probably possibly on a downhill. I'm not sure there, but that's 6 years ago. But he's very like. He's very good at finishing hard in these hundreds, domestic hundreds. Like he's breaking records over the place. I'm not, my Lakeland 100 time wasn't close to, what is it? It's about 40 minutes slower, isn't it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that's not close. It's 40 minutes slower, so it's not like 3 hours slower, is it?
I suppose. Yeah, I
It's
don't
still the
know.
fifth fastest time.
Yeah,
And two of those
but.
belong to Mark, so that counts as one. So really, it's the fourth fastest time.
Yeah.
Don't two of them belong to somebody else? So really, it's the third fastest time.
Anywho, well, Mark's just phenomenal. I don't know. I haven't run with him probably enough to know what his strengths are, other
As
than
a witch and a member of
finishing very
the
hard.
Wicca community, I'd like to just put it, my two pence in here and say, tell you that Mark Derbyshire is actually a wizard. So that's the
Ah, that
difference.
helps. That helps.
He has the dark arts behind him. He is a wizard.
That does help.
Yeah.
He's got great hair.
He is incredible. He's an outlier. He's like Dan Lawson. You can't work out why Dan is what Dan is better at. Like, Dan is just fucking incredible. Like, and Mark is just incredible. And there's so many, and you're incredible as well. Like, there's subtle differences, but it's quite interesting because when the good guys get together, like you and Dan and Mark, and when you hang out, it's not, from my anecdotal experience, that's not what you talk about. It's just not what you talk about, is it? What makes you a better athlete than me? Well, there isn't, that's not the
We
conversation.
do talk training. Certainly, when I hang out with, say, Jack Scott or something, he's very interested in. He's always been very interested in. We do talk about training, and maybe Kim, like, because we're coaches as well. But I don't know is the absolute truth. Ask Mark. But I mean,
Okay,
I don't
Mark doesn't
consider
do
myself
podcasts, so we won't be able to ask Mark.
Mark's. Yeah, he's a phenomenal. He's the top male athlete in the UK in ultra running for the last sort of 3 years or so. So. He's brilliant. I know. I'd say he's well. I guess the difference between us actually is that I've done more of the 200-mile stuff, and he's much more of a 100-mile
He
specialist.
doesn't like getting cold. Fucking does not like it, whereas you don't mind
I
getting
do like
cold.
getting cold. I like getting cold.
Yeah, he don't like
Yes.
it, and neither does Dan. So if it comes to the cold stuff, you're gonna fucking win because
Come on,
Dan
race me on
doesn't.
the spine,
Yeah,
boys.
exactly. Let's have a line up for the spine, and then we'll see who's the best. Right, having run the 50 course, John Cadman, 8409. I hope that's not his PIN number.
Sorry, Ali. I've just got one correction from earlier. I
Sorry.
had a nagging doubt that I might have given some misinformation. I've just double checked. I had the second best dwell time.
Oh, how have you
Yes,
found that
guess
out?
what?
What?
Anna Llewellyn only did 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Well, that's probably why she was walking for the last 20 miles then. Anna.
So Anna is
She's
the
new to this. Yeah,
overall champion
she's new to
of.
this, though, Anna. She's young. She's fresh.
But that was one of my big that when I was new to it, I spent ages in the aid stations because I was like, "Oh, this is free, brilliant!" And I'd
Exactly.
sit down and stuff my face. Anyway, sorry, question.
My nickname is Dwelly McDwellface. Right. John Cadman, 8409. Having run the 50 course, just dropping that in there. Do the front runners actually run up the hit up Fewsdale? Did you actually run up Fewsdale, which is the big climb out of Howtown, or did you not?
No, that's hiking. That's power hiking with my poles. Which I was very glad to have. No, we don't run everything, but I must say, Anna and Jarlef were running. I ran 95% of that first climb, maybe even
What, out
sort
of
of 90,
Coniston?
yeah, like maybe even 99% of it. There's probably just and I'm pretty sure Anna and Jarlef ran all of that, and then, yeah, they were running stuff that I didn't consider to be sensible to run. But not that climb. That climb's a hiking, a power hiking climb.
That
But I
climb is a
think,
bastard.
but I like a good hike. It's a, you know, you're using slightly different muscles. It's a slightly different energy sort of coming out of you. So it's, I think the key as well, not to call it a walk. I definitely call it a power hike because it sounds more athletic and it's more purposeful. And it's to
And that's
really
what your
walk
boy
in.
Scott Jurek calls it, so that's what we'll call it.
Right. Well, so I think it's important to practice that a bit in training and to consider it, you know, not, you're not slacking off necessarily. And people like, Kilian Jornet, is an excellent hiker. Like the top guys, are very good at it as well. It's not in any way less athletic or less. And sometimes it is genuinely quicker to power hike. I've caught people up by power hiking before in races. So yeah, the idea is just to move as efficiently and as most sustainably as possible, I think.
What mental strategies do you draw on in a race to keep focused or keep the, in inverted commas, daydreams at bay?
That's a good
I
one.
think you quite like the daydreams.
Yeah, I am a bit of a daydream believer. And so one of my little treats was to like pick up some music at Dalmain, but that does plug into my daydreamy thing if I almost forget I'm racing. And maybe it's not a coincidence that Rye caught up with me not long after that. I think so. I do have an alarm on my watch for every 30 minutes to remind me to eat, and I increasingly add things to that alarm. So it's like, definitely eat something. Do I need a drink? But then it might also be, you know, stay focused, or it might be, yeah, checking in a variety of things like that. So yeah, it's a good question. I am a bit of a daydreamer. I do forget to sort of not forget, but I lose a bit of focus sometimes. But it's, yeah, trying to remind yourself, give yourself some reminders, maybe write something on your arm, write something on a note in your drop bag, write something on a water bottle that will give you your why, and maybe a, you know, a target you're going for, a goal, and try to,
What are you
but
daydreaming about? He's daydreaming,
oh,
guys. He's not just going for it.
I I'm a man, so nothing much.
Porn.
Football, hill porn, football.
Football, women.
I mean,
That's
you
it.
said that, you said those things, I didn't. Not much. If I'm having, I'm just having a happy time. I'm just happy. Yeah.
Okay, what two quick ones. What's your favorite part of the Lakeland 100?
I think just the nighttime in general. It was a lovely reminder of how great it is running through the night. I love it when you got a head torch and the night is hopefully, it wasn't that clear in terms of, I didn't see many stars, but it was lovely temperature and you're out in the hills. You can sometimes see a zigzag of torches behind you, a few little lights in the valley of like a little village or something. The silhouette, and when dawn comes along, the sort of silhouette of the peaks. I love all that shizzle.
I like Snoop Dogg. Right, thank you for those. Those are the questions. That concludes the Lakeland 100 chat. I've got one question that we've had in the bag waiting for you, and I think this is the right one. You said to me, save that question for me. Do you remember when I
Oh,
said to you,
sort
I had
of.
quite a good question? I think it was this question, right? But it might be a different one. So this is interesting. I think this is interesting. This is the last question of the season because next week we've got a special guest, and the special guest is Dr. Josie Perry, and she's talking sense. That's what she's talking. She's talking about success, and she's talking about all the things that surround success. She is a sports psychologist. She works with Olympic athletes and Damien Hall, and she's written a book called The 10 Pillars of Success. So she knows what she's talking about. So that's next week, and then I'll tell you what this. I'm not going to tell you what the theme for the next season is because I haven't decided yet. So. This is this question. Guys, absolutely loving the pod. First, on all of the above, I'm so much better and happier. He's just talking about how brilliant the podcast has made his life. I'd love to know your view on what seems to be a growing gap between the elite field of ultra runners and the rest of us. Do you remember this question?
Not really, sort of.
Right. I'd love to know your view on what seems to be a growing gap between the elite field of ultra runners and the rest of us. It seems not that long ago this sport was a little under the radar and non-elite athletes could still train and get success if it still happens. I'm sure Ali wouldn't call herself an elite but wins a Spine Challenge and all. Mostly, though, in the big races, the elites are so elite and so far ahead of the rest of us, and the gap is just getting bigger. Thoughts? We had a conversation about this.
I do vaguely remember a tired conversation about this.
Yeah.
Yes. Did I say anything interesting back at the time? Because I'm
Yeah,
not
you
sure
said to
anything.
me, you are not, that was not an elite performance at the spine. You said that to me.
I did not.
You did? You said that was not an elite performance. And I went, okay, well, the time was pretty good.
Didn't say
This isn't
that.
for me. You did say that. I don't think it was an elite performance. I completely agree
We were talking
because
more,
I wasn't fucked.
was it an elite lineup? I think we were talking
No,
more like.
it wasn't an elite performance because it wasn't an elite performance, right? And I'm not an elite athlete because I find it very fucking hard and it's always an accident. It really is an accident. So, but this
It's
thing
not
about
an
the.
accident. It's not an accident because you train very hard and you execute very well as well.
But I didn't go to win. I went to do the best job I possibly could. Anyway, the point is, this gap between the elite field of ultra runners and the rest of us. So tell me about your athletes. So, do you think there is a gap between the elite runners and the rest of us, or do you think the rest of us can become elite runners? And what is an elite runner?
I think it's a really interesting observation, but really we'd need some data to sort of show that that is happening. So I guess you'd need to look at some race results and say, oh yeah, look, the top five women are finishing, so much quicker than I suppose the back five women or the five women in the middle. Or I guess we'd need to be presented with some data to show that, I suppose. In terms of like, so that's like a perception. In terms of like people I coach, I don't think I see that. I coach quite a few people who I suppose want to bridge that gap of well,
That's the thing. So let's talk very quickly about Sarah Page. When you took Sarah on, did you see her as an elite woman? Bearing in mind she's done 300 milers, she's won one of them. I think she came second or third at the Arc.
I think she's done more than three. Yeah, she'd already won 200 milers when I took her on, and the irony was I haven't won 100 miler, so it's a little joke we have where it's like I'm the one who hasn't won 100 milers is coaching the person who has. I mean, I saw her as already elite, yes, and I'm just trying to get an extra 5 or 10% of out of her in both training and the races if I can. And in a way, they're harder to coach because there's less room for improvement. Whereas if you take on someone who's running 20 miles a week and not doing strength work and doesn't fuel the racing very well, there's so much room for improvement. But yeah, I have a few people in the interesting bracket, and I do seem to attract people, I suppose, who have done a handful of races, have done, I guess, moderately well, but feel like they could do better or want to do better. That's half of it. And they're willing to put the work in. So I don't think I actually see that in the people I coach. I kind of see the opposite of people, and I definitely see more younger people coming in. Curse them.
Oh, they're so annoying.
They're fast and they re recover quickly and everything.
They're enthusiastic.
Yeah, I
Their
hate it.
livers work. Their kidneys work. Your good eyesight.
Shouldn't be allowed. Get a good drug habit, people.
Yeah,
Come
fucking
on.
what's wrong with you? Why aren't you out? Read my book. That's instruction manual on how to fuck it up and then bounce back.
So it's a good question. I'd like to see some data, and then, but then it might just be that there are more people taking it more seriously, wanting to do well. I mean,
What
definitely
is
race.
elite? Can you define
Well, that's a
elite?
good question. That's a good question.
Have you
I
got Google
guess.
in front of you? Can you Google what is an elite athlete? What constitutes an elite athlete? Or do you want me to do it? I'm going to have to make this small. I'll do it because you're a man. You've got Bing, haven't you? Or some sort of like carbon good thing that won't search properly. Okay, what constitutes an elite
Do you want to
runner?
say runner or runner?
Yeah. Here we go. An elite runner is generally defined by their exceptional speed and performance in running competitions, often measured by specific time standards for various distances. Elite runners also exhibit a high level of dedication, consistent training, and often utilize specialized training methodologies and support systems. So I would argue that if you want to exhibit a high level of dedication, consistent training, and utilize specialized training methodologies, i.e., a coach and support system, i.e., a coach, anyone can do that. Anyone can exhibit a high level of dedication, consistent training, and specialized training, right? Anybody has the ability to be able to do that if you want to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of why I said partly it's the desire to want to
Yeah.
do that. Yeah.
And then the exceptional speed and performance in running competitions, measured by specific time standards for various distances, that is a matter of opinion. Right, that is a that is that that is that is relevant to who else is there. So it's if you're going to win a race, it's because you are the fastest person there on the day.
It's not necessarily because you're an elite. So if I went and ran a Punk Panther race, for example, and won it, that doesn't mean I'm elite. It just means I've run a local race where no elite runners, I guess professional athletes who have, maybe that's what it means, professional athletes. It's a really interesting perception, isn't it, whether you're elite or not.
Yeah, it's.
And yeah, and I think the other thing is, right, don't get me wrong, Simon, I'm not casting aspersions, I'm just asking a question. I'm looking at this with curiosity. Is this a case of slight jealousy, or why aren't I as good as them? I train really hard. Why can't I win something? Because the thing is, as someone that has won something, in fact, I've won a couple of things this year, I work my fucking tits off to be the best version of me that I can be. I don't really care about the result, but I do work really hard to be the best version of me and the quickest to get from A to B in the quickest time I can for me. So the result doesn't really matter. But I don't think that results in an elite performance unless you're going through the consistent training, dedication, and using a coach, which is what I do. I train consistently, I'm very dedicated, and I do use a coach. But I also have a life outside of this, and I don't get paid to do it. How much prize money did you get from Lakeland?
Oh, loads. Zero. Yeah, it's very rare to get prize money. I think I
Well, I
have
don't want to go into how much your
three
sponsorship money is, but it's
times.
not fucking paying your mortgage, is it?
No.
No. You're not a professional athlete in that you're paid to be an athlete, right?
No, I think it's very, yeah, I get a small amount of funding, which is helpful. But I do find quite a lot of people think I'm professional. It might be because on Strava, a while ago, Strava messaged me and sort of said if I, well, like I could have the elite, the sorry, the professional option for free or something. If I think all I had to do was like improve my bio and say I've won these races or like, and I was like, well, okay, it's not dishonest or anything. Well, apart from
Saying you've won UTMB is dishonest.
damn, it's all right, isn't it? So I th maybe it's from that, but some people, yeah, the only dishonest thing is it does say pro on it. And I'm not, I'm not a professional athlete. As far as I know, the only one in Britain, as far as I know, is Tom Evans, though, possibly does coaching as well.
He's a professional something or other.
The rest of us, so the word elite is much better because yeah, nearly everyone has a day job. Quite a few of us are coaching as well, obviously. And what decides what is elite? I guess it is more like historical times at races. I mean, when you look at UTMB, for example, just to mention that one, and all the Western States, you can see the times are getting quicker and quicker. Not just the winner, but there's people, even the back end of the top 10 is quicker and quicker. So I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying like Josh Wade, his UTMB last year was very similar to mine when I placed fifth, but he didn't even get in the top 10 when he ran that time. So you can see that's getting. The elite end is more competitive, it's getting more elite. Whether that means
But
there's a
it's
gap.
also getting younger. So, nowadays, in the last 20 years, we had the birth of social media, which means people know more about the sport, which means the sport is more accessible because people fucking know about it. So, more people are starting to take part. There's more races, and people are starting at a much earlier age. So, maybe the gap between the faster people and the slower people is getting bigger because a lot of the faster people are young. And there's nothing we can fucking do about that. But the other thing is, Simon, if you want to go and win a race, go and pick one you can win because I can go and pick a race that I could win today. Easily, I could go and do one of the Grimark North events and win it because there'd be five people to turn up. There are so many different races to do. I don't think that the gap is getting bigger, and I certainly don't think it's getting bigger on things like the Spine race. It's not like, when Mark won the 13 Valleys and there was 7 hours between Mark and the second place person, they basically all went home, had a sleep, came back again. You don't really get that, do you, in the big races? We didn't get that the weekend at Lakeland. Once you'd finished, there was a steady stream of people.
Yeah, true. So I guess I'm not convinced that is happening. I think there are more people coming into the sport. We've seen that definitely since around lockdown. We can see data on that, and times are getting quicker. Winning time records, are getting broken, and then even the back end of top tens are getting quicker. So that's all quite exciting. I don't know if there's a gap between the elite and the rest. I don't know if that's growing. That might just be a perception. It's an interesting discussion point, though, as
If you
hopefully
want to
we've
get better at
demonstrated.
running, try harder. Last question is, I don't think we've done this one. This is one for you. I've just moved away from having a coach as I felt my run training plan was quite straightforward and I could manage it myself.
Is this one of my ex-athletes?
But I'm unsure how to plan my training blocks. I understand how much the volume should increase week on week, but how long should the block be? Should it be for a set amount of weeks? Should the block start off with a race at the end? And if I'm doing multiple blocks up to a race, how much of a decrease in intensity should be the rest week? Should the rest week between blocks be? Do you want me to repeat that?
3 months. Okay, next question.
Okay.
I
12,
don't
12
fully
T.
I didn't fully understand, but
He's moved away from having a coach because he thought his training plan was quite straightforward and he could manage it himself. But he's unsure how to plan his training blocks. I understand how much the volume should increase week on week, but how long should the block be? Should it be for a set amount of weeks? Should the block start off with a race at the end and work backwards? And if I'm doing multiple blocks up to a race, how easy much of a decrease in intensity should the rest week between blocks be? There's a pretty fucking simple answer to this question.
Oh, go on then, you answer it.
What fucking race are you
Get
training for? What race are you training for?
or go back to a coach.
What distance are you training for? And Bruce, Brucey Bull, Dave, you just said that you thought that your run training plan was quite straightforward and you could manage it yourself. You can't. So go back to your coach. That's the end of the question.
That note.
Probably the most ridiculous question we've ever had. Thanks so much for that, Dave. I did appreciate it and it was great. Would you like to know how many times you mentioned and I mentioned UTMB in this podcast?
No, actually,
It
no.
was 17 times. So congratulations for 17 times.
Wow.
Done your 12 times, done your UTMBs. Haven't done my joke about how I was looking at where you were and accidentally filtered it so that all of the A's were at the top. And I looked at my thing and you were being chased by seven men called Adam. And I couldn't see you, so I couldn't see where you were for Adam. But for ages, I thought there are actually seven Adams running after Damien, but it was just because I'd accidentally filtered Damien and the Adams. Anything else to add?
Well, yes, actually. How are you and how's your running?
Fine.
Okay. No, tell us more because I'm bored of talking about myself and this has all been quite one-sided. So
Well, that's a first.
you're preparing for the Dragon's Back race.
I'm pretending it's not happening because I'm on a deload week. Although my deload today involves going out and running 10 times 1 minute as fast as I possibly can, having 3 minutes rest and then doing three sets of 7.5 minute miles for 5 minutes and then going and doing a full strength session at the gym. So I'm not sure if you call that a deload. It's going okay. I'm going to Wales next week. No, I'm not. Yeah, next week I'm going to North Wales to do the first day on my own. And then after that, I'm going to Mid Wales to do day four and a bit of day five. And the thing I'm struggling with is guilt about my dog because I want to take her out with me, but the days are too long and I need to be on my own. So I feel like, what's your, if I was your athlete and I was like, I feel bad about not taking my dog out on recce days, what would you say?
Can you not walk her at another point in that day?
Well, I mean, if I had a partner who wanted to walk her, that would be really helpful. But I
What if your dog didn't really like the partner and they're more of a cat person?
don't know. I could walk her, but I feel pretty feel bad. I feel like today I've been having like this, like I could just take her over the Carnedda. That's fine, but I want to see how quickly I can get from Conwy to Ogwen Valley. Like I want to see because I want to see how different I feel compared to last time. So it was 3 years ago, and I need that confidence. If you feel different this time, I keep thinking about Dragon's Back and thinking about how painful and awful it was last time and how shit I was because I was shit and I wasn't performing to the best of my ability and I let myself down in quite a big way because I was like, I was stopping to smoke cigarettes. I was like looking after someone else. I wasn't in the game. I just really let myself down and this time is different and I want to go and do the recce during the recces. I want to go and do things that are comparable so I feel more confident about the whole thing. So I just need to leave the dog at home. She just needs to go for walks, basically. I think I'll leave with
Yeah.
Gareth. So that's what I'm going through at the moment. And yeah, but I'm all right. And I had a nice time in the lakes, did some good runs. Did some lovely runs, actually. So that's good.
Good.
And I feel all right. And I feel recovered from my previous race.
Good.
That's all I have to report. It's really boring. My life is quite boring.
Great. Can I go now?
Sure. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening to this season. And we'll be back in September, end of September. Actually, no, probably beginning of September. And we will have a new theme, and the theme might be motivation, or it might be values, or it might be something else. We haven't decided yet. There is a raging debate going on in the WhatsApp group about what it should be. But we appreciate you a lot. So, next week's interview is Josie Perry. I want to say thank you to Julius for and Oscar for their excellent pod chopping and editing, and Kirsty and Holly and I suppose Damien for their witty insight and repartee throughout the seasons. Thank you for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you have got 2 seconds, or maybe a bit longer, maybe a minute, can you head over to Apple or Spotify and give us 5 stars, please? We don't want to hear all the things you don't like about the pod, just the good stuff. We'd also encourage you, while you're on the internet, to go and check out Reaction Collective. Reaction Collective are a collective of wonderful human beings who are striving to make things a little bit better environmentally for everybody. They fix everything from tents to t-shirts, and they have an amazing collective. So go to have a look at Reaction Collective, Google it, you'll find it. Pre-Love Sports. We also support them. Pre-Love Sports sell secondhand kit, and they collect good quality secondhand kit to sell on as well, which encourages the circular economy of running. Into Ultra are an amazing charity who help people getting into the sport, because it is very expensive, as we all know. So they're a great company to be part of, great charity to get involved with. Just Google Into Ultra to see how you can help. And finally, our favourites, the Green Runners. If you're not a member of the Green Runners, then why the hell aren't you? It's easy to pledge. It's only £2.50 a year, and you can wear the same badge as Jasmine Paris, so a bit of virtue signalling. Thanks to all of our friends, and thanks to you, the listener. We will see you next week.